Have you been watching the news lately? All the good news? Well, if you do watch the news, it's usually not real good news. As we watch world events concerning our country, what's happening to us, as you watch the news in the Middle East or wherever you watch what's going on, it just seems that time is speeding up. Those of us who understand many of the prophecies of the Bible about the approaching times of the end, you know, the times that we're going to be coming to in the end when there's going to be greater and greater conflict between nations. World events are speeding up. So what should we be doing as we watch world news? What can we do as individuals and as a church to keep focused on our mission and purpose? On our calling, on our mission and our purpose. We all have just kept the days of unleavened bread, and we've certainly been focusing on, with God's help, learning how to overcome and grow and put sin out of our lives by putting Christ in our lives. Today I'd like to focus on what I call three aspects of doing the work of God. What I feel, and I hope you will feel the same way, right out of the Word of God, many different approaches could be given to the subject, but when I think of doing the work of God, these are the three aspects that I think of doing the work. The first one will be what you will be very familiar with, I think, and sometimes we may not think of the second and third one as much of doing the work of God as the first one. But let's first of all look at the example of Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to look at is, what is the work of God? What does God say His work is? What should we be doing? What kind of a work should we be doing as a church? What did Christ say? What should we be doing as individuals? What kind of a work should we be doing? And take a look at that today. It's certainly on my mind and heart as I head back to Cincinnati. I'll be flying back there Friday to join the several hundred others who will be coming from around the world. And our purpose is the purpose from doing this is, how can we better do the work? United has a work to do. We need to move forward. We need to be better organized. We need to have greater unity. We need to focus on what's important, what God has called us to do, and work together and move forward in our calling as an organization, as a church, and as individuals. Certainly there are differences. We know that. We have differences about things. But when you're dedicated to God, as we are, all of us, that's why we're here. We're dedicated to God. We love God. We're thankful to know His truth, His plan, and His purpose. We love His plan, grateful to understand His plan and His purpose. We have incredible, wonderful blessings of knowledge and understanding about God's great love and His plan for all mankind. And we have so much that needs to be done before it's too late. And what do we mean by that, before it's too late? Before God makes that decision to completely withdraw His blessings and protections from America. I mean, you see it gradually happening and yet speeding up, and there will come a day, who knows when that may be, how far off only He knows, when He's just going to say enough is enough. And while we have the daylight, while we have the freedoms, while we have the opportunities to save more lives, and my life is going to be saved and your life is going to be saved, because others before me were dedicated to God, dedicated to His church, and dedicated to the work, and they kept at it. And God was able to reach down into my life and call me out of the world and into His wonderful way of life, His truth. And so we just have to, you can tell it's on my mind and heart. In fact, every elder in the United Church of God has been asked to fast before they go to Cincinnati. That isn't sent out to all church members, but it is sent out to a letter and an email and a letter to every elder worldwide in the United Church of God. to please fast and ask Jesus Christ to guide us in what he wants us to do, and to do it in unity together to accomplish his will for us as a church, as an organization, while we can, to fast and to humble ourselves and to get egos and personalities out of the way, personal agendas out of the way, and to sincerely fast and pray that God will bless and intervene and show his will. So I hope that you will at least remember that in prayer for us while we're back there. You're maybe not directly involved. I don't know what your interest is one way or the other, but I hope and I ask that you would please at least, beginning on the weekly Sabbath next week, when we gather together and Bob Dick will be speaking with his message, and then our business meetings begin on Sunday and Monday. I'll be back there for a regional pastors meeting all day Tuesday, and then there are Council of Elders meetings that follow right after that the rest of the week. So beginning Sabbath and Sunday of next week are important days. Would you please write it down? Father, I don't know everything going on. I don't know all the things they meet for, but I do add my prayers that you will guide these men and women, and that you will bless and help United to accomplish its purpose for existing. You know, those of us who are a part of this church of God, we're a part of the church of God, aren't we? God's people. United is organized, and the purpose is we're organized so that we can be more effective in working together to spread the word, spread the truth, you know, get it out there and let God call others, as many as possible, while we're able to do it before things are shut down at some time in the future. Let's look at the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so we can follow it. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4, verses 31 through 36. His life certainly changed my life when I began to understand that Jesus Christ not only died for me and paid the penalty for all my sins and mistakes, but that he set an example to show me how to live. That's what really changed me and convinced me I should keep the Sabbath, because he did, and should keep the holy days, because he did, and should live a certain way morally and strive to be honest and truthful, because he did. That's what convinced me, as I came to read and study and look at the example of Jesus Christ, to be with his Spirit. It's impossible without his Spirit. But with his Spirit and with his help, it is possible gradually as we grow, as he helps us grow. And picking it up here then in John 4, verse 31, our Lord and Savior, our example. Here are the disciples. They're out traveling together, and he's always dedicated, Christ is. And verse 31, breaking into the thought, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, take a break and have a meal. Take a break and eat. That's what they were saying. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know. You don't understand yet. And the disciples looked at one another and thought or asked, has anyone brought him something that we didn't see? They didn't understand what he was talking about. And then Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's my food. That's my life. That's what I live for. That's what Jesus lived for every day, was to serve God, do his will, and finish the work that God had called him to do. And that's the way I think about it. God called me, gave me life, put me into his church, and in this case, put me into the ministry. It's not what I had chosen for me as a career, but he did it, and gave me a different way of life. And like you, and I know you brethren feel the same way, I want to finish that work. That's why I'm glad, in one sense, I'm not retiring. I've just given that up. I don't know if it'll ever happen. Maybe it will. Maybe I'll get so old and feeble I'll have to retire. I don't know. But I'm just going to keep on going. Leon and I have made up our minds, and if it gets to the point I'm not giving good sermons anymore and I'm not getting across to you, brethren, say, Mr. Luker, we love you very much, but I think it is time that you step down. You know me well enough, and I know you well enough. I would say thank you. You're probably right. But until that day comes, I am glad that God has gotten through to me, and Leanne and I want to, as long as I have mental strength and health and energy. I just want to keep doing His will, finishing the work that He gave me to do. I don't want it to fade out with energy and life and years of strength into nothing. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You don't either. It's okay to retire. There comes a time there may be a need to retire, but never to stop serving God and doing the will of God. And Jesus added, there are still 4 months. You say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look out there. Look at the world. Fields are already white for the harvest. The needs are out there. People who are lost, people who are a mess and getting worse in this world. And He said, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Now, what we're dealing with and why it is so important, you and I are not just talking about the years of our life, a few more years, or if you're young, if you lived your physical life out. We're not just talking about this physical life only, are we? We're sure not. We're talking about the life after we're dead and gone or changed, eternal life, real life, permanent life, life in the family of God, life with God, being like God. And He says that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. So Jesus Christ set the example for us. And over He said, I want to finish what God has given me to do. I want to finish strong. How do we want to finish strong? I don't want to fade out to nothing. I hope united by the grace of God and the mercy of God can be a part of the work of God on earth and finish strong. It's not over yet. It's not over till it's over, as the saying goes. God can use anyone He wants to do His work, any group, any organization, but we're a part of it. That is a united stance. We have never said there's no other church out there that's part of the Church of God. Our official statement, I was on the council when we developed it, that we are a part of the Church of God, the true Church of God, that has preserved the knowledge of God's way of life, His true plan of salvation, and we want to be organized and so that we can do our part in carrying on the work of God. And it's certainly worth it for one life that can be saved, isn't it? One more human being that can be reached. One more life that can be saved. Notice what He said in John 17 and verse 4. Toward the end of His life, these final words that He spoke to His disciples. Christ kept focused. And that's not easy to do, is it, in this world, to keep your focus. Because we live in Satan's world, many distractions, many pressures, many stresses that we have to battle every day. It's hard to stay focused sometimes on what's really important, what's the most important. But here in chapter 17 and verse 4, well-known words of Jesus, where He said, praying to the Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And He was about to finish it on the cross, wasn't He? Completely. That was Jesus Christ, our example. And I have finished the work, Father. And you know, when my life is over, when your life is over, when our lives are over, and the end of this age is over, brethren, I hope that every one of you, I hope we can say, God, we finished the work that you gave us to do. Now let's see what that part of the work entails. Matthew 28. We're just going to look at the words of Jesus on this today. Here's what he gave us to do. I want to do it strongly, so I'm going back to the General Conference of Elders to play an active role in the meetings back there. And Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, words we know, spoken to by Jesus to his disciples, to all of them. He spoke with authority. He said in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And we know this well, verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, and baptize those, you know, that God calls who repent. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," and into the very family of God. "Teaching them." So we have a commission, don't we? And thankfully, we've been a part of a church and a work. That's why you can go to the feast in Australia or many other countries. What a blessing it is, like David was saying. We would never have known the Bartons if we hadn't been sent to Australia, probably, and lived there and gotten to know Reg and Joan Wright, Kayleen's parents, dear friends of ours. It's been by the incredible calling of God. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." The way of life you and I have. We understand how we're supposed to live and serve and help and give. "Teach everything I've commanded you." And then he added, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age," even to the end of the world. So Jesus Christ promised, "I will always be with you right to the very end." But keep doing this. Keep spreading the word. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep going to the nations. Keep baptizing people. I will do the calling. I'll bring them to you. You can't convert people. You can't make them repent. God says, "I will lead them to repentance. And I will call them." But keep going to the nations. Keep going to the world. Keep praying about it. Teaching them. Showing them my way. Setting an example. Notice Matthew chapter 24. So we know that. And that's not just the minister supposed to do that. It's the church. It's all the disciples, isn't it, working together that accomplish that. We know these scriptures well. Matthew 24. Verses 12 through 14, here he's talking about the signs of the end of the time, the end of the age. We know this chapter pretty well. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And now we read verses 12 through 14. Christ Jesus said, "Because lawlessness will abound." And Leanne and I watch television at times, and we see some of the new programs and some of the stuff going on. We see at a younger and younger age, teens and young people are involved more and more in internet pornography. And you just see a degeneration of the moral values and the pain and the suffering and the agony. It was a special the other day that had been done on how shocked parents would be if they really knew how teenagers and young communicate with each other. And many of you are aware of it. It's pretty open today. But the point is, it's kind of this spiral down of immorality pretty fast. A disintegration of our society and family life as we know it. "Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many," and the NIV translation here says the love of most people who knew the truth. This is the love of disciples. "The love of most will grow cold." And that surely has happened, isn't it? Look how small Australia is now compared to what it was. You had 5,000 members at one point in Australia. Now down to what, 600-700, you said, David? Somewhere in there, 500-600? Yeah, about a tenth. It's kind of that way everywhere, isn't it? Of those who decided, "I'm not going to give up living like Jesus Christ lived. I'm not going to give up keeping his Sabbath and keeping the holy days he kept and preparing for his coming kingdom." But Jesus said, because of lawlessness and that teaching, it will abound, the love of many, or most will grow cold. Thankfully, you're not one of the most and the many. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Enduring. And I think of that a lot when I, maybe sometimes when I'm a little tired or battling emotionally or physically or with health issues or just the way I feel sometimes. You know, I just don't feel real good today. And it's not sick, but as you know, it's the mental, emotional challenges and battles that we can have striving to be a Christian in this world today. And battling Satan sometimes in his spirit. And I just, as you do, just, God, give me the will and the strength to endure and to fight on. And Jesus said in verse 14, this gospel, that means good news, of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness. That means a warning. Some translations accurately translate that. That it's going to be preached as a warning to all the nations before the end comes. And then the end will come. So God will do it. You might say, well, does that mean United's going to do it? I don't know. God is not limited. God can raise up two witnesses, prophets, angels. God can do it in so many ways we can't even think of. God can use people not even in the church to get a warning out there. But my point is, we're part of the church. We know this should be done. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of helping to preach the true gospel of the coming kingdom of God, the return of Christ, and the kingdom of God on earth, to help preach it to every nation on earth. As long as I live, don't you? I hope you do too. Feel that way, that passionately about it. Help get the job done. Somebody did it for you and me. We need to do it for others, faithfully. Keep doing it. Do what Jesus said to do. And notice this same chapter, verses 45 and 46. These verses always speak to me. And he's talking about that day and hour, whenever that time will come. You know, watch therefore, for you don't know exactly the day or the hour. But in these verses here, 45 and 46, he's saying, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. And that's for us. That's for anyone. Jesus is saying, if you're a faithful and wise servant, I gave you my work, I gave you my church, and I'm the master of the household, and when I return, will I find you? Will you still be, if you're alive, will you still be passionately striving to do my work? Take what I've given you, and you are God's people. And I praise and thank you. You're here speaking to the choir, but I hope that we can be renewed and strengthened. I hope you can, as I am striving to be renewed in my zeal for God and doing his work. And as you all know, keeping your heart in the work of God, not the work of man. I'm not saying that, am I? I'm asking you, as you know and as you want to do, keep your heart in the work of God. That's what we're going to look at today. How passionate are you in doing the work of God? Many of you are wonderful. You really, truly are, and probably most of you are. Maybe there are some of you, hopefully, these words of God from his word will motivate you to think, how can I do it better? So we're looking at this first aspect of doing the work of God, and that is to make sure we never give up and don't let down on how we can contribute to spreading the word of God, preaching the gospel, sharing it with others publicly, getting it to the nations, praying about it, and that's the first way, right? We all know, and to save time, I won't turn to the scriptures, but Jesus gave them. It's prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Pray daily. Thank you, brethren, you do pray. That you've learned the importance of time with God, prayer and fasting. Remember also, when you pray, not only for your loved ones and those in need and those who are sick and those who may need help and encouragement. Those are all very important things, especially the people you know so well. But remember what Jesus said, and remember to pray for the leaders in the church. Just, you know, the Bible says we're to pray for the leaders of our nation. Paul wrote that. Pray for our leaders of our nation. You may not like them, you may not agree with them, but pray that we can have the peace. Paul, that's what he said, that we may have peace and be able to do God's work. And while we have time, we're to pray for our leaders, we know that. And so if we're to pray for the leaders of our nation, they're not even converted, what about praying for leaders of our church? I appreciate your prayers for sure, Leanne and I do, and for other leaders in the congregation here who serve you so faithfully, many of them. But also pray for our other leaders. You know, I don't know anyone in United who's trying to stop the church or the work or make it not happen at all. You know, sometimes we have different opinions and points of view on issues. We certainly do that. But all the men that I work with, I disagree with some of them on certain issues. I don't agree with them on doing the work of God and what's important. That's why I intend to always stay a part of United. There's nowhere else to go as far as I'm concerned. Sometimes people are always shopping around and keep looking here and there and everywhere. And you know that old saying, forget who said it, but when you do find the perfect church or the perfect organization, don't join it because you will ruin it, you know? You know, so sometimes people are looking for the one that fits them, or one that maybe they think, I fit there, they believe everything. The point is, though, there's no such thing as a perfect church or a perfect organization or a perfect group of people out there. There is no such thing anywhere. And so the key is to find where God's people are, who are truly God's people, who love God, who love others, who are not self-righteous, judging, condemning, critical of others, have a loving spirit and attitude, and are dedicated to God, and get out, become a part of that imperfect group of people and that imperfect organization so we can do something. That's what it's all about. So we can do something, so we can move forward. So please include in your prayers, I've requested that for the weekend. Boy, it should be wonderful if we could come out of Cincinnati and the GCE this year for United and say, you know, we've really got it together and we're really ready to move forward now even more powerfully than ever before. I hope Christ has that in mind and your prayers can make a difference. And I'll just say this, the other way that we all know, so I don't need to really elaborate on it, is our faithful tithes and offerings. We know that one. And many of you have been very faithful in your tithes and offerings for a long, 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 long time. Thank you for that. And Jesus mentioned that, you know, as well. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I'm not going there, Matthew 6, because time. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And don't lay up where it can be stolen and where you can lose it tomorrow. Put your heart and your money where it really is going to count eternally. Seek you first the kingdom of God. You know those scriptures. So our tithes and offerings, your tithes and offerings, your faithfulness in that is what enables the work in the church of God to accomplish that mission that God has given us. So thank you, brethren, for your faithfulness that way. You may say, I can't give tithes and offerings here or there because I don't like the way they're spending it. Well, when Leanne and I have been in the church a long time, like many of you, and there were times in the Worldwide Church of God under Mr. Armstrong, I didn't like the way the money was being spent. But I said, God, it's your tithe money. I will obey. I will not fail to tithe. And how it's spent, that's your responsibility. And if it's wrong, you need to straighten it out. So that's been our attitude about it. It's God's tithes money. And I know where the truth is, and I want my tithes and offerings to go where the truth is and where a work is being done. And it's worked out just fine. God's blessed us for doing that. And he eventually has straightened out the problems. And then another way, brethren, and then we'll be moving on to the other aspects of doing the work of God. Another one is the power of your personal example and helping to preach the gospel. Don't ever underestimate the power of your personal example. I don't think you do. I, for one, you know how God called me. I've mentioned it enough times. It wasn't through the broadcast. It wasn't through any of that stuff. I met another member of the Radio Church of God, 1959. That's what it was called back then. Changed to Worldwide Church of God in early 1960s. I met another member of the church. That's how God called me. David Barton, what about you? How did I know David Barton's story? He met a young lady called Kayleen Wright. And through her, God called him. And he responded, as you've been faithful. Many of you know that as well. It's amazing how many around the world God is able to call through that personal example of individuals and people. So don't ever underestimate your personal example. You never know when God may decide to open someone's mind. And it can happen. So thank you, brethren. That's the first aspect of doing the work of God. Let us never grow weary or give up or say, phooey. Let's keep praying. God, it's not over yet. You can do a mighty work. Help us to learn to yield to you. Help us as a church and as a group of people to be outward focused, to reach out to the community, to the world. Help us to learn to do that better and more effectively. Father, help us. Thank you. Let's move on to the second aspect of the work of God, what the Bible says about it. That's what we call the first commission, what I've been talking about, first commission of preaching the gospel, sharing it, giving it, making it available to others. This part of the work is the work, here's how I've worded it, the work of serving, mentoring, and training others. Very important part of the work of God, as we'll see from Scripture. That as you are in the church and you become established and strong and stable and committed and dedicated, mature, not simple and naive, but you're a mature Christian. You understand that we're an imperfect group of human beings with our problems and our issues. We're wanting to become perfect, desire to grow. But we have a responsibility as God works with us and we grow and maybe learn from others or however it is, then that we fit into our lives somehow the time to serve, mentor, and train others. Right? Many of you do this, but I'm just going to ask you to focus now. I don't know who's been the most influential in your life, maybe a number of people who have made a difference in your life spiritually, who have helped you in whatever way. We need to pass it on. And I was thinking some of those in our men's leadership club, and the ladies had one today I heard was real good as well. And we're still working our way through some of the icebreakers that the men are giving. Some of them suggested, you know, leadership and service is our theme, but that we take 5 minutes or so to give a little bit about our lives. And I was expressing to some of the men how grateful we are for those who are younger in the church and yet are dedicated and committed and to God and His way and His church. It's just inspirational to me, very encouraging. And it's very important. The work of serving, mentoring, and training others is a part of the work of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. I'll cut out a couple of scriptures here, pick out some that show that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. There are many examples of it. 2 Timothy 2, first two verses. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Here is Paul mentoring Timothy. And he said, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And we'll see in a moment, to women as well. And it doesn't mean that you're talking about everybody has to be ordained a minister, but you take the things of God, the truths of God that are so valuable and very important, and pass them on to others, our children, especially our precious children who've grown up in the church and have that heritage. We do our best for them, and we never cease to pray for them. Notice Titus chapter 2. The ladies had their meeting together today, and here's an area of scripture that talked about women being teachers of good things of others. Titus 2 verses 1 through 3. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober and reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and in patience, and the older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And this could be not only women who are older physically and that way mature, but sometimes it may be a younger woman in the church, though, who's been in the church many years of her life and is very mature spiritually, although she may be a little younger physically. So even mature that way or older that way, spiritually older women who can be teachers of good things to others. And so it's men and women, very important part of the work of God, that we realize the importance of mentoring and serving and training others, passing on. I'm very willing to do that. I want to do that with as many as possible. That if I were to, God don't let it happen, but you know, if I were to drop dead of a heart attack, I don't want that to happen. That's why I walk 2 miles a day and try to eat right and keep my weight under control so I can keep going. But that there would be, who knows, whom God could use and raise up to carry on and to serve and to lead and encourage and motivate others. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. That we'll see that part of the work of God is the work that God is doing in our brethren, in the lives of others. And we are to be interested in that and a part of that work. Notice how Paul puts it here in Romans 14, verses 20 and 21. Do not destroy the work of God, and he even uses that very term, for the sake of food. Now, this chapter 14 is not about whether or not you keep the Sabbath or not. You know, some groups take chapter 14, verse 5, one person esteems one day above another. And that is not even the subject of this chapter, keeping the holy days of the Sabbath or anything. Verse 1 and 2 tell you what it's about. It's about eating or not eating certain things. Some were eating meat sacrificed to idols, and there was a controversy over that. And in verse 2 says, one believes he may eat all things, that means meat, as well as other things. But he who is weak, that is maybe weak in the faith or new in the faith, eats only vegetables. And so it's about our eating and our drinking. And it is possible to miseat, misdrink, and be a stumbling block to people. And so Paul says, don't destroy the work of God, your brother. And then verse 21, it is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Paul said, I'll give it up. I'll stop doing that or stop eating that rather than offend the conscience of my brother. If he has a conscience issues with that. So it's very important for me to understand that you are part of the work of God. You know that. I am part of the work of God. I love what he says up here. Let's read verses 10 on down. Why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, every single one of us. I look at you. You may believe certain things differently than me, But I know you're going to have to give account to Jesus Christ, just like I am. And we won't all be standing there and saying, hey, well, look, he did it that way, and he did it that way, and she did this, and he said that. We're all going to have our turn before Jesus Christ someday. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us, verse 12, shall give account of himself to God. That's what motivates me. I am going to have to explain to Jesus Christ. He knows my heart. He knows what I believe. He knows exactly what I believe and why I believe it, where I am. And he's going to not judge me like he might judge you. He's going to judge me on what he knows I understand and what he knows I believe. And I won't be able to fool him. That's how he's going to judge. So he says, verse 13, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Verse 15 is picking up that theme that I started with. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're not walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. And so down in verse 20 is where he's talks about the brethren being the work of God. It's a very important part of the work of God, isn't it? And so the work of serving the brethren, the work of mentoring others, fitting a little time into your life, being an example, taking a time. We're so blessed in this congregation. We're so incredibly blessed when you walk in and we've got these wonderful little kids running around playing, excited to see one another, the wonderful families we have, and younger couples and older people. We have a great congregation. God has given us a wonderful opportunity to be there for each other, to mentor and to serve and to train others. And, you know, it doesn't mean go preach at them, but be there for them. Take time for them. It's a very important part of the work of God. So let's keep working on that together. That is the work of serving one another, mentoring one another, and training one another. We can all learn from each other, can't we? I've learned so much from many of you. I'd say the important things. I knew God's word, and I studied it, but there were so many things I didn't understand. I didn't understand how to be a good husband when I got married. I didn't understand how to be a good parent. I had to learn. I didn't understand how to help somebody who had a drinking or a drug problem or somebody struggling with same-sex attraction, homosexuality. I didn't know those things. I learned them from others in the church that God was calling and working with, and then beginning to get into my own study or sexual abuse or any issue someone may be struggling with. I learned those things from others. God helped me to want to understand and to want to then pass it on to others. So we learn from each other. It's a matter of you have to begin to learn to trust people before you will really open up and really honestly share, right? Again, we know that. You don't just walk up to someone and maybe what you're really struggling with, your own personal issues. But they're there. So let us not neglect this aspect of the work of God, but let us improve in doing this part of the work and helping one another, passing on, keeping it alive, learning from each other, sharing with each other, strengthening each other, training each other. That's the joy and the blessing we have in being together on the Sabbath and the holy days and communicating whenever we can with each other and the fellowship that we have with each other. And then finally, the third part of doing the work of God, sometimes it's the hardest part for us. It's the work that is going on in you and me. Now, the other part was the work of helping our brother, right? The work of our brother. The work, I want to help you. What about, let's look at what God says about the work of God that God is doing within each one of us. Are you dedicated? Are you hardworking? Are you committed? God, I'm really a work. I need a lot of help. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Another important part of the work of God is the work that he is doing in each one of us, and you and me. Philippians chapter 1, this beautiful verse I think we all know and love so well. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, God called us, he began the process, he's faithful, he loves us, he will never give up on us. He began a good work in you, and it says he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, till he comes back, or until you're raised from the grave at his return. God will complete and finish the work of God in you. That's a very intimate, personal part of the work, isn't it? Notice chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, it's a personal thing between us and God, isn't it? Leanne and I love one another. We help, we pray for one another. We support and we help one another. We're able to do that. But I can't pray for her. She can't pray for me. I mean, I don't mean pray for me, but do it in my place. She can't study the Bible. And honey, you just study. I don't want to study today. I don't want to pray today. Would you go ahead and pray? She can't do those things for me. She can have a develop a very good personal close relationship with God. But that doesn't mean I'm going to have a close personal relationship with God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I'm a very important part of the work of God. So are each of you. Don't underestimate that at all. We are part of God's work. Very important part of God's work. He's very deeply concerned. We know the days of unleavened bread drove that home. So let's go to one more scripture while we're right here. Colossians, the next book. We read this during the days of unleavened bread, but let's look at it one more time. Cooperating, working hard on the work of God that he's doing within us. In verses 26 and 27, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. This amazing mystery, this amazing truth. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In verses 28 and 29, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, that means every person, every man and woman, in all wisdom, that we may present every person perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So God is working a mighty work, a powerful work, wants to in each of our lives. You know, my question is, are you cooperating with that work? Are you dedicated to the work that God is doing or wants to do in you? Are you letting him do it? Are you willing? Are you cooperating? When are you going to stop fighting God? When are you going to say, God, thank you. I am an important part of your work on earth. Help me to do my part in this work that you're doing in me. Help me to want it, to yield to it, to accept it, my calling that you have called me, you have opened my mind, I understand the truth. Help me to become yielded to you. Help me to become converted. And our wonderful, beautiful children, as they're growing up, you know, they are a part of the church right now. You know, our babies are a part of the church. Our young children are a part of the church. Our teens are a part of the church. They're a part of God's work too. God's Spirit is with them. We look back in our lives and realize God's Spirit, who knows how far back in our lives and in our children's lives, God was beginning to work with us and accomplish His work in us. So let's get excited and renewed and rejuvenated. And the way you stay excited about the work of God is you keep your eyes on God and on Jesus Christ and on the Bible and on His Word and on His truth and not on the imperfections of the human beings. That's how you stay excited and enthusiastic about doing the work of God, is you keep your eyes on Him, on God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And it will be accomplished. And let's close with 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let us be renewed, and it's a daily process of renewal, isn't it? It helps me, though, to think of these three aspects of God's work. I've got to make sure I'm doing my part in the mission of the church and preaching the gospel. God, help me to be faithful. Help me to pray about it. Help me to keep tithing. Help me to keep being a good example. Help me to do everything I can, go to the conferences and the meetings and try to help it be better organized so we can do a better job of getting the gospel out there. And God, help me to realize the importance of the work that you're doing in others and contribute to that work and support that work and pray for others and do everything I can in my power to help them in the work that you're doing in them. And then, you know, and then thirdly and finally, and what about me? God, help me to do my part in yielding to you so you can accomplish your work in me. And we'll close by reading 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, be like a rock. Don't let anybody shake you. And I think most of you are to that point where you can just help me. Look, I know what I believe, and I know why I believe it. I respect you if you believe something else, but don't try to take me out of God's church or away. Be immovable. Be a rock. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always knowing that your labor, your work, is not in vain in the Lord. Because someday, brethren, when we do stand before our example, our Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, Jesus Christ, we shall give account to Him. Let's do it so that we can hear those wonderful words from Him. Well done, good and faithful servant.